Matthew tells us, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they will be filled. Lord, light the great fires of your love in my soul, or kindle those burnings divine. If that is our prayer, from the sincerity of our heart, the Lord will light those fires, and they will burn in our hearts, and we will be used of him. And I trust this coming week that each of us have open hearts to allow God to work in and through us. For a message this evening, I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I have entitled my message this evening, The Supremacy of Christ. Supremacy. The definition for supremacy would be the highest or supreme authority or power. We're looking at the supremacy of Christ, the highest or the supreme authority or power. A synonym to supremacy would be sovereign or supreme in power, free from outside influences or control. The supremacy of Christ. Let's begin reading at Colossians chapter 1, looking at verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all the might according to the glorious power unto all the patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it blessed the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him the reconciliation reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and filled up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is a church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto you to the fulfilling of the word of God, even the mysteries which have been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God, who made known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. The supremacy of Christ. It is easy for us to lose sight of the sovereignty of God. It is easy for us to lose sight of the sovereignty of God when we have things going well for us, as well as when we face difficult times in our lives. it is easy for us to lose sight of the sovereignty of God. And it is important that we recognize the supremacy of Christ in our lives. I'd like to ask a few questions. It's questions that the world has been struggling with down through the ages of time. And one of those questions is the simple question of, who am I? You ever stop and think about that? Really, who am I? And the world is struggling with that. They're trying to figure out who we are. Another question we could ask is, why am I here? What is the purpose for me being here? So we look around us. It becomes very obvious that things aren't all well in the world today. There are many problems. We ask the question, what is wrong? Another question that we can consider as we look at this, as we look at who I am, why am I here? Why all the chaos in the world? What is God's solution? Those are some of the things we like to think about, and I might not answer all those questions in those exact words, but it's something that I'd like us to draw our minds to. If we ask those around us, if we ask our culture around us, they'll give us one answer. But the answers to those questions will let us wanting and empty and unfulfilled and still grappling for answers to those questions. What does the Bible say about who I am? We look at verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And this is talking about Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things that were created by him and for him. Who am I? And you might wonder, well, what does this text have to do with who I am? Well, it's not until we realize who he is that we will know who we are. He is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is God with us. He is God among us. He is the Almighty. The Bible says, for by him were all things created. He is the creator of all things. What things did Jesus create? Here it says he created thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. And it even goes beyond that. He says everything. So that's everything that we can see. He created them, which harkens back, takes us back to John chapter 1, verse 1. Thought I had that by memory, but I best just turn to it. John chapter 1, verse 1. Here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, it tells us there, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if we would continue to read, going over to verse 26, it says these beautiful words, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, that's plural, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Who am I? I am created by a divine heavenly Father. God said, let us make man in our image. The world would have us to believe that I came from some speck way out there millions of years ago, and it began to evolve into something, and it began to evolve into matter, and it began to evolve until it became an ape, and after a while, that is where I came from. The Bible tells us something completely different. And it is beautiful as we accept the Word of God and we understand truly who we are. Psalm 8, verse 5. Well, let's just drop back a little bit. I'll just begin reading at verse 1, Psalm 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemies and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And it is something when you think, when you look at the beauty of God's creation, and you know it takes more faith to believe in evolution than what it does in simply accepting the Word of God. As you look at the uniqueness, as you look at the complexity of creation, and I'm always amazed with that. We have a daughter in Colorado, and we drive through the Rockies. And I never get tired of just looking at the beauty of God's creation. It's just amazing. And then you look at the human body and you look at how it's put together and how it functions. It's beyond my understanding and its complexity. And the psalmist is saying when he considers all the beauty around him and all the creation, and then he says, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visiteth him? He's asking the same question. Who am I? What are we? In light of the beauty of the creation, what are we? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast maketh him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou putteth all things under his feet. We go to Psalm 139, verse 13. Another beautiful verse in relation to what God, what the Bible has to say as to who we are. Psalm 139, looking at verse 13. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God knew us. God knew us. Even before we were born, God knew us. God made us. He made each one of us very distinct in the way that he chose to do that. I am not an accident. I am not something that just happened. I'm not a random process that just happened. I am created by God. God created me just the way I am. Do you ever struggle with being who you are? Do you ever wish you were someone different? I can remember as a young person, I struggled with that. I would look at other youth and I would wish I had their makeup, or I wish I had their abilities. I just was never good at sports. And I would envy those other men that could, or boys that could take that bat and hit that ball clear across the fence. And there would be times I'd be doing good to get it out to second base. And I wished I could be like them. But God created me. He created me just the way I am. I need to accept that. I can also remember back in my Bible school days, and I don't know how it is for you youth now at Bible school, but back then we used to, it was just a thing to hand out pictures of ourselves to others. And before you go to Bible school, you would have to get a picture taken of yourself to hand out. And so the first year I went to Bible school, I did that. I went to Olin Mills in Park City in Lancaster County. And I went there and I got my picture taken. Me and my sister went in there. And there you get that done and then you have to wait. You have to wait, I don't know how long it is, maybe a couple weeks. And then you come back in and you look at the proofs. So you sit down there and you look at the little booth and you look at the proofs and then you decide which ones you want. And so my sister and I were there looking at the proofs and I was looking at them and frankly, I didn't like any of them. And so I didn't have a lot of choice, so I picked out the best of what I thought was there, and we got them developed. I took that little stack of pictures with me to Bible school, and I came home with the same amount that I went with. Because I was concerned, I didn't think I looked like I wanted to look. I did not accept myself as I was. God made me. And you know, my dear people, let's just simply accept God the way God made us. Whether he made us tall or short or athletic or blonde or black hair or whatever it is, let's just accept God and allow him to use us. He created us. We were not a random act. That's who we are. We are created by God. And let's allow him to work in and through us and not put too much emphasis on ourselves. I am no accident. We are the crowning glory of the creation of God. That's who we are. We're not an accident. We were created with a purpose. Why am I here? You ever wonder, what is my purpose for being here? God knew before the foundations of the world that I would be standing here, 2016. He knew that. There was a reason why he created me. For this time, why am I here? The Bible answers this question completely different than what the culture around us will answer it. Again, we turn to the supremacy of Christ. The Bible says that all things were created through him and for him. The ultimate purpose of the creation of God, the ultimate purpose of God creating us was for his honor and for his glory. It was to bring honor and glory to him, and that he might have the supremacy in all things. So who am I? I am the crown and glory of the creation of God. Why am I here? You know, the world would have us believe that we are here simply to consume and to enjoy. The world would have us to believe that life is just It's just a party. It's just enjoy it for the time. That's what they would have to have us to believe. And they would have us to believe that that is where you find fulfillment in life. But it is so empty in the end. It is so empty. Why am I here? I'm not here to just consume and to enjoy, but I am here to bring honor and glory to God. I am here to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why I exist. That is why I breathe. And that is why he breathed into me the breath of life. Christ, the Bible says, is to have the supremacy and the preeminence in all things. He is to have the supremacy and the preeminence in my life. He has to have the supremacy and the preeminence in the church. The Bible says he is to have it in all things. The world would have us to believe that we are here to simply consume and to enjoy. The Bible tells us that we are here to bring honor and glory to God. That is why we're here. But something went wrong. God created us. And it is beautiful as you look at the creation that God had created, and as you look at when he created man, the Bible says that he had communion with Adam and Eve in the garden. I just would have loved to have been there, to have been able to just have that relationship with God the way Adam and Eve did. And that was God's desire. His desire was to have a relationship with his creation, and particularly with man. There was something special in creating man, and he desired to have that relationship, and he did. He had it with Adam and Eve. But something went dreadfully wrong. Adam and Eve, or God set a standard. You see, God gives us his word, and he sets a standard in his word. And there are lines in this word, in his word, that we are not to cross. And if we cross, we will face the consequences. And God set a line there in the Garden of Eden when he said there was that which they were not to partake of. And they did exactly that, and they partook of it. And their relationship with God was severed. The Bible says that he drove them out of the garden. How tragic. But you know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us had taken our own way, despite the fact that God had created us. And he had created us in his own image. And he had created us for his own glory. Despite that fact that he had created us to bring glory to him, we chose to walk away from him. We chose to disobey him. What is wrong as we look in the world today? It is each of us. It is each of us. Turning our eyes, turning away from God. It is sin in the world today. And it's not just the sin that's out there. It was my sin that robbed me from being a glory to God. That is the problem. It is your sin. It is my sin. It starts with me. When we personally realize that we have come short of the glory of God, when we personally realize that we are responsible for that relationship being severed, when we come to the realization that we have sinned, who am I? I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. The Bible says that I was knit together in my mother's womb. Why am I here? I am here to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is wrong in the world today? It is me. I did not do what I was meant to do. I have the sin nature. I have sinned. My relationship with God was severed. But folks, tonight, God has given us the solution in His Word. Coming back to Colossians, our text. Looking at verse 21, it says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." There are two words in here that make all the difference. That make all the difference. The one is where God plays a part. The other is where we play a part. There are two simple little words, and that is yet and if. The Bible says that we were enemies of God. We were alienated because of our sin and the sin of Adam, by wicked works of our mind. It says, "And yet hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy, unblameable, and reprovable in his sight." The supremacy of Christ. It's because of what Christ has done for each one of us on the cross of Calvary that we, if we choose, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which was under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Those two words make all the difference. God has done his part. It is up to us as to whether we're going to accept. It's up to us as to whether we're going to let God speak to us through his word. It's up to us that as the Holy Spirit convicts us, that we're going to respond in repentance and confess our sins. It's up to us, after we have confessed our sins, as to whether we're going to continue in the Word of God, grounded and settled in His Word, and allow His Word to have an effect in our lives, to make us different creatures in Christ Jesus. And it's as we do that, that we can bring honor and glory to God. And we can fulfill his purpose as to why we are here. And we can overcome the sin and the Adamic nature if we continue in his word. The supremacy of Christ in truth and redemption is found exclusively in him. There is no other way. Our brother in our devotion shared that he is the door. It is through Christ, God's Son, that we have access to God himself. Christ, the supremacy of Christ. There is no other means by which we can be justified. There is no other means by which we can be saved. It is through Christ and him alone. Acts chapter 4, looking at verse 12. Says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The supremacy of Christ. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse 9. Says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye might show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness and unto his marvelous light. It is through Christ that we can find fulfillment in life. It is through Christ that we can show to the world where they can find fulfillment, and it is only through Christ. It is through Christ, as we allow him to work in and through us, that we will bring glory to him, and we will shine as a city that is set up, a light that is set upon a hill. Who am I? I am the crown and glory of the creation of God. Why am I here? To bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. What went wrong? It is my sin. It is your sin. It is the dynamic sin. What is God's solution? It is through the atoning work of Jesus Christ that we can again. The Bible says that we can be perfect. And that is a beautiful thought, that we can be perfect in Christ. We can be complete in Christ. And we know that in this life, we struggle. We struggle with temptation. We struggle with a fallen nature. But as long as we allow Christ to have supremacy in our lives, we can be perfect and complete in him. And that is beautiful, because then we can be all that God intended it for us to be. And we can be used to his honor and to his glory. You have the world around us telling us who we are and why we're here. On the other hand, you have the Bible telling us who we are and why we're here. On one hand, you see emptiness. You see hopelessness. You are left to pursue your own satisfaction, but you never can find it. On the other hand, you are precious. You have purpose. You can find fulfillment. There is a reason for living. We have a hope. We can experience joy in spite of the outward circumstances that we might face. The answer to finding fulfillment in life is recognizing the supremacy of Christ and allowing him to have complete control of our lives. God's grace is sufficient for everything that we will face. God has the answers to the perplexity of life's problems. Man is trying to do away with the supremacy of Christ because it makes them accountable. The further we run away from Christ and his supremacy, the more we'll run away from that which is going to, that we're going to find true satisfaction. Tonight, God has created each one of us for a purpose. God loves you. God has a plan for each of us in our lives. Let's allow God to have complete control of us. Let's allow God to work in and through us. As we go throughout this coming week, I just want to challenge myself and each of us to be open to the sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord as he speaks to us, and allow him to use us, and allow him to just simply have complete control of our lives. That is when we will find real joy and satisfaction in life. May the Lord bless you. I ask you to come back again. Come back praying. Bring others with you. I trust that you'll have a good night and a good day tomorrow. Let's stand for close. We thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. It is a blessing to see the children that are here. It is a blessing to see the youth that are here and the parents. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless us as we gather together from night to night. Pray that your will be accomplished. And we pray that your Spirit will have free course within each one of our lives. Be with us as we go from here. Give us safety on the highway. We pray for a good night's rest. We pray that you be with each one tomorrow as they go about their activities and as we gather again tomorrow night. Commit our lives to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.